You're listening to Artistic License with me, Addison Cove.
This week I'm joined by dancer and choreographer Robin Hutchings.
Hello.
Robin, you're sort of a dancer who's recently been involved in a lot of dance and a lot of film, or sort of dance choreographing for film.
Yeah.
Could you talk us through maybe what's the difference between the two to you?
Like, okay.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, isn't it just?
It's really, because all my past experience has been choreographing for stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very much focusing on like the different formations and the spacing and the dynamic qualities of everything. And you're doing the same, but different, if that makes sense. You've got to think it not from the audience's point of view from sat in an auditorium, but instead sat watching it through a camera. And with a camera, you can pick and choose your shots in a very weird way.
I can definitely, I can get what you're on about as the person normally making the films and that.
Yeah.
I mean, even when going from acting to making films, you have to start looking at things in a completely different, it's a whole new ballgame, man.
Yeah.
Like, when suddenly it's like, actually, this dance move doesn't have to link into this other dance move because it's going to be so stop and start.
That's it, exactly.
I don't think a lot of people sometimes realise how different the two are.
I actually find it more difficult not having to make things flow and like focusing on like the different transitions between movements and stuff.
I can imagine that you find that more difficult probably because you've been trained.
Yeah, that's it.
To do it for stage.
But
if you'd had it the other way around, you'd probably be fine.
Like. Yeah, that's it. But I'm really focusing and I'm trying to get myself to improve and doing that on my own choreography for stage. So then suddenly having to switch and do it in this different manner where there is no transition because suddenly you're cutting to a different shot.
Yeah, and you can easily, in post-edit, you can lose, like, you know, 50 seconds of choreography and that's, like, it's just gone, it's cut. Like.
Yeah, that's it. It's, you can mess up, if that makes sense, whereas on stage you can't.
I don't think I've ever seen, like... sort of art form where you can sort of, you know, just, oh, well, we don't like that bit even though we've already done it, so we just get rid of it and then no one knows it's happened.
Yeah, the only theatre equivalent I can really think to that is in between shows. So you do, for example, at my last show I did, Big Smoke, during the London Fashion Week dance that we did was loads of, like, voguing and whacking and stuff like that. We, it was the simplest thing of changing the pose at the end that me and Silva, a person at our college, did at the end, and the first night and second night we changed it, and no one would know.
Yeah, I get you, and I think I'm gonna take you back a little bit because you just dropped voguing and whacking, and
Of course.
I'm
sorry.
Sort of not a dancer, but even I think they're contrasting styles. Is that right? I mean. Don't know whether I'm correct to say that or not.
Oh, you'd have to ask somebody that does more street stuff, but I tend to say they go together.
All right.
Because voguing is very gestural, like showing off the face, like, well, Vogue is what you'd see in, like, fashion magazines and stuff. I personally think it's almost taking the mick out of it.
I think a lot of people know what Vogue sort of movement or Vogue style is.
And then whacking, I'd say, is a much, much more accentuated version of it. So you're really, like, throwing your arms above yourself and over your shoulders and bringing them down, twisting your wrists as you go.
So it's a sort of, you know, like a heightened sort of version of it.
Yeah, it's like almost as if you had, I don't know what the proper word for it is, but if you had, like, a breakdown in a song in which you were doing voguing for, you'd fill that in with that, which is what we actually did for the London Fashion Week dance.
Well, I've got to say, I came to see Big Smoke and it was really good, actually. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was very varied, actually. There was a lot of there was a lot of dance styles. I wonder, talk to you about how difficult it is to swap dance styles in between dances. Ooh. Or is that something that you can sort of pick up and adapt to? Like,
personally, I find it quite difficult because just little things, because I mainly do contemporary and then use ballet to strengthen my technique. But then suddenly switching to jazz, where, say, you're doing a pirouette, but it's not, it's a jazz turn, and your legs not turned out anymore, and just tiny, tiny little differences like that or street is hell for me. I'm terrible at it.
Well, I think for me as an actor, or the actor side of me when looking at it, sort of thinks the most difficult thing must be sort of changing character as you go through. Or is sometimes in dance is the character not as important and it becomes more about the movement? I don't know how fair that is to say.
I think, honestly, it ranges so much between genres. Say if you're doing a lyrical contemporary piece where you're really, really heavily focusing on the narrative, it's vital to it. But if you're doing other styles of dance that are more focusing on the style of the movement rather than the narrative, it's not as important. For example, going back to Big Smoke, when I did that, I'd switch from doing yuppies, which, while I was terrible at...
I don't think you were terrible, I just... Maybe it wasn't
I look like a 12-year-old
character.
Yeah, and it's like going from, right, really cocky and all this, and then... Oh, wait, no. Before yuppies, even.
Yeah.
Before yuppies, we had Grenfell as dance, a contemporary dance for Grenfell that was, like, inspired by the stories of people from that, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. I found myself almost crying on stage, and then going into yuppies next, and then going into a character that I think was in Tube falling asleep, if I've gotten the order right, just falling asleep on the Tube and really tired and angry, and then into Oliver from Oliver Twist.
As a like an actor, I think sometimes we don't get a choice over whether we get to connect to our characters or not. I think sometimes you just have to, even if you don't like them. Do you think in dance, if you don't like a character, there's sometimes a temptation to just focus in on the movement and sort of leave a character behind? Like,
definitely. Definitely. I'm so guilty of that. I am so incredibly guilty of that. I find yuppies is such a perfect example. And it was, we had some proper street moves and some breakdance moves in it. And I would just... I didn't really fit the style of it, I didn't really fit the character, and so I kept finding myself taking it away and making it into my own thing and putting little contemporary twists on it and stuff, and really, like, accentuating the movements and playing with dynamics and stuff, and you just can't do that. You've got to fit in with it, and you see, you really got to fight it.
I think a question is that you have this sort of... You're quite versatile in terms that you practice a lot of styles of dance, but contemporary is definitely where you'd say your strengths lie. Yeah. I wonder, why is it contemporary that really appeals to you, or what about contemporary stands above the rest, or does it stand above the rest, or is it just your favorite?
I'd probably get a lot of hate for it, but I personally think it stands above the rest.
That's okay, that's don't worry about it.
I know a lot of dancers that would smack me on for saying that.
And yet they'd probably say the same thing about their favourite style.
Oh, yeah, it's your favourite. You prefer it, you think it's better, that's how it works. But I just... There's something that is so hard to describe. The flow of the movements, the connection you have with the ground and flowing through and getting all of those, like, all of those different techniques into it that you see from ballet, which goes back centuries, but then bringing it to modern times and putting these incredible narratives to it, or making it into a completely abstract piece, playing around with it as much as you can and just exploring. That's what it is for me. It's exploring dance.
And in our new collaborative project that we're doing together, I think there's sort of a variety of... It's movement rather than dance, I think, a lot of it is the best way to describe that. It covers a lot of styles. I think some of it has contemporary elements, I think.
Yes.
Do you think that contemporary sometimes lends itself to abstract more, or is that being harder to work with in terms of an abstract sense?
Ooh, that's a tricky one. I mean, I know I've said that to basically every question.
Yeah, no,
but...
or is it just the same, you know? Is it just as easy to do contemporary as, you know, when it's abstract as well, like?
I don't know, because with what you're talking about with our project that we're doing, that's for film.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think doing abstract for film is a lot harder for me personally, because it's still got to mean something. We're still following a narrative. It's just not clear. It's quite fragmented and broken up.
I'd argue that sometimes abstract film is harder to do narratively, because you've got to coherently get across your narrative whilst breaking it up and sort of, I think the visual diversity that we gain from abstract film often encumbers a story. So that's sometimes something that has to be balanced. I think in our project, we're kind of attempting to do that with dance. Do you think dance is a good fit in terms of sometimes bridging a narrative in quite an abstract way? Because it's quite a an abstract form in itself, isn't it, of telling a story? It's not, you know, it's not conventional in terms of...
I think dance breaking into physical theatre, especially, is an incredible way to do that. But abstraction's weird for me because on stage, I love it.
Yeah.
Like, just completely improvising and feeling the music and just doing whatever feels best and most natural to do next and not caring about the narrative whatsoever.
Yeah.
But obviously, well, that's, you get different levels of abstraction and stuff as well. But, so I think using, doing a piece that's abstract, but then following a fragmented narrative, if that makes any sense,
which is what we're doing. It makes sense to
me.
Sort of fragmenting its own reality, if you like, but staying within its own laws. So
the process
that we're going through to make that happen is, I don't know whether this helps you from a dance perspective, but we're putting it together in linear structures and then breaking it up in post-edit. And I think, does that help
That's incredibly helpful for me, so that I've got each storyline there and I can focus on one at a time with it. And I think... I'm not sure about you, but I find that helps in general with the project, with the storyboarding and the composing of the music.
I think it helps. The idea that we can film something that is chronological to us in nature and then the audience can experience it as an abstract piece, that's what film is all about to me. The idea that you can change people's perspective. I think film actually is a little bit of trickery, just a little bit, but like the best little bits of trickery.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm.
No, definitely. I can't think of what I was going to say.
In our new film project, you're purely a choreographer, aren't you, rather than a performer, apart from maybe a tiny cameo part. And has that been has that been a change that you found quite natural, or has that been challenging at times to go from dancing to suddenly just being the choreographer?
It definitely feels unnatural to me. I took that for a reason. I wanted to do that because I want to improve my choreographing skills. But that doesn't make it any less weird. When it comes to dance, I'm definitely a follower and not a leader. I'd much rather have a practitioner come in and go, here's what you're doing, here's how you're doing it, go do it. Rather than me having to take the lead and teach all these people and like all of that responsibility and taking control of this massive thing.
And I know that's not abstract completely within the world of dance, because one of your favourite companies, Ballet Boys, is a similar sort of setup to that, isn't it? You have practitioners who come in and teach them dancers, and they're performers rather than actual creatives themselves. Maybe it's not fair to not label them as creatives, but you know what I'm getting at there.
Yeah.
They're not the creators of the piece.
Yeah, because they've started exploring with that. Yeah. In their most recent show, Them Us, they explored with just choreographing themselves. Mm-hmm. But in almost everything else, they always have a new practitioner, a new choreographer come in and do a dance with them, teach her a dance to them, which is actually quite weird for a company, because usually you have within that company someone or someones who is choreographing, who's directing or whatever, who is creating that.
It's normally the foundation of a company, isn't it? It's built upon its director or its... So it's actually a really out there and kind of groundbreaking company in terms of
it's just more of a troupe of performers. Because you've got these instruments, really, where they've worked so hard to get to where they are in terms of fitness, in terms of technique and ability, so that then for somebody to come in and go, here's what I want you to do, they're just, okay.
And they're like, let's go, whatever you want. And I know we talk about your transition into choreography being not the easiest of things, however... It's not your first thing you've choreographed, is it? It may be your first film. I think that might be true, but it's not your first piece of dance that you've choreographed.
I've been choreographing for years.
Yeah.
I can't think back to what the earliest thing I did was. But more recently, well, not too far back at least, back in secondary school when I was doing GCSE dance and there, I was choreographing a solo for myself and a duet for me and my duet partner, and then I'd choreograph a group piece, or I'd help, or I'd co-choreograph pieces to then teach people or do myself.
Is it one of the first times that you've had to choreograph without being directly in the piece and actually being able to sort of either be a front man or be somewhere in it, in the mixed of the dance?
It's not my first time, because we've had previously, keeping within the college, we've had shift for whatever unit that was, where we were, where all the dancers choreographed. So I was basically given these three dancers, being told these are the people that's going to dance for you, and then I had to choreograph something based off whatever stimulus I wanted, whatever song I wanted, whatever theme, whatever genre, whatever I wanted. I had complete and utter control over it. But I think that was my first real-time assessment level, creating something that I'm just not in.
Can I ask, when you choreograph something you're not in, does that give a sense of almost powerlessness? Or, you know, there's no control over when it comes to the actual performance. You can't directly affect it yourself, can you? That's it.
Yeah.
It's now, it then becomes a done deal, surely.
Yeah. It almost makes me a bit panicky.
Yeah.
Because I...
Is that more panicky than you'd be if you were...
Than if I was in it? Yeah, definitely. Because I can't do anything. I'm sat in the audience, I'm watching it, and I'm hoping that it just goes right, that it goes how I've intended it, that my message comes across through it.
Well, luckily I went to see Shift, and I did think it came across all right. I think you... pulled that one off, and
that one was a tricky one. I did not think that one through properly, honestly.
That was a dance about the war, wasn't it?
Yeah, about
which
Charlotte.
War specifically was it? Was it World War One or two or both? It was dealing with shell shock.
Yeah, honestly, I took stories from both World War One and World War Two, so it wasn't based on one or the other.
So it's sort of an interwar piece, and what you're sort of putting across there is that the war wasn't important, if you like. Which one it was isn't important. You're telling the story of the people involved in the wars. I think some of your dance is about bringing global issues down to a more human scale, and so we can actually look at them from the perspective of people that were affected, rather than the big global picture that was going on at the time.
Yeah, I really like to do that. I don't know, it's a strange thing to do, but you see a lot of dances that I've done myself and that I've seen from other people where it's looking at refugees or war victims or people in poverty, homeless people, people who suffered horrendous natural and unnatural accidents. But I really, really like to just focus in and give one specific story. But
yeah,
also,
a lot of your dance is narrative, isn't it? It's...
Yeah.
It's telling someone's story.
Yeah, which is weird, because I actually almost prefer doing abstract pieces myself.
But that's where you tend to gravitate. And you gravitate to the war quite a lot as well. And
I do.
That's been something you've revisited a few times. And actually, I think every time you revisit it, you explore maybe something different.
Yeah,
or
something
somewhere
new,
different.
Some new point of it. It's
but it's
that...
almost always been the people from the war or soldiers.
It's something that's really fascinated me, because when I was younger, my great-grandfather passed away when he was 90, and he was perfectly healthy. He'd never fought a day. He'd never smoked a day in his life or anything like that. Went for massive walks every day. He was absolutely kicking for a 90-year-old, and he just dropped. He passed away with little to no warning, and I'm pretty sure that it was a result of gas that he inhaled during World War II when he fought in it.
Well, yeah, we know a lot of the weapons used at that time were not... There weren't any restrictions on what a weapon could do to a person.
Exactly, and it just... I don't know, I think it's left an impact in me, which I don't think I'd even realised until recently.
Do you think sometimes you explore things that have had an impact or maybe even small emotional craters that have been left behind through dance to try and fill them?
Oh, definitely. Not to fill them, but to explore them.
To explore them. Yeah, I think that's a more accurate term, perhaps.
Because I've done a lot about the war, and I've really looked into it. I've watched a lot of different things on it, and it's always fascinated me. And then it didn't sort of click until I found myself keeping wanting to go back to it. I was like, oh.
And it really has been... I think you've almost got about half a dance show worth of material, I'd imagine. You could probably go away and do a full...
You haven't even seen the footage of me, like, dancing around my room in my underwear to some weird-ass music about some person in the war. There's so much.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Because, I mean, I think you could probably get away with doing a full dance show about that one day, and I wouldn't even be surprised if you got there, but... Other subjects that you'd probably like to discuss as well, or is the war sort of your pinnacle or your go-to? Do you know what I mean? Like, or is there something that's higher than that? Or, like, is that's where the best stuff is? That's okay if that's where the best stuff is as well. Like, I'm not trying
that's okay.
I'm not trying to make it sound like that's a bad thing.
No, I don't think... That's the best, but I don't think there is a best. There's definitely, if that makes any sense.
No, that's definitely fair, I think.
There's a lot of different subjects that I'd like to explore in the future, but I feel that I'm not yet ready to, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
For example, like going in and talking about mental health issues, whether that could be relating to substance abuse or self-harm or, like...
Oh, I think that's...
Therapy, anything
well,
to do with that.
Well, we're doing that with our new project, but I think that's...
That's the closest I've gotten to it so far.
To me, it's sort of... It's not something I think anyone should try and tackle on their own, especially to start with. It's such a big subject, but we have four very strong creatives working behind it, and I think they're all bringing something to the table. So in that sense, it's a lot of a lesser burden to bear, if you like, because we're all bearing it together. But I don't think it's a subject where you'd sort of recommend that people take that as their first option.
It depends how close to home it is, I think.
Mm-hmm. But also, you know, where do you begin?
Like, this is why I love the project, because it's given me somewhere to begin with. It's given me, this is a storyline, this is what's happening. It's not, I'm going to take this off of my own experiences and turn it into something and tell my story to a sense.
And I think we're playing off each other's strengths, because I'm quite a good initiator of ideas. I do a lot of either initiating or writing and stuff like that. And you're quite a good, you know, developer of ideas in terms of that.
I'm also very picky.
Yeah.
I've shut down so many of your ideas.
But that's okay, because there's also times where you'll say something and I'll go, yeah, that's just not possible with film.
This doesn't know how it happens. How it happens.
Yeah. And then Alex Edwards will come along and write a brilliant song and we'll go, wow, we shouldn't have wasted time bickering.
No. But,
you know, that's sort of how it works. And with the film, we're not working just with dance. You're also working with physical theatre and... What's it? Tans Theatre, which is a new one to me. You talk me through that a little bit more and the difference between the two.
I'm a bit new to it myself.
Right.
My dance teacher, Sarah, introduced me to it.
That's Sarah Pegg, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Shout out to Sarah.
Shout out to Sarah Pegg.
Sure, she'd love that. Tans Theatre is, if I'm even saying that correctly, is the German name, because it's German originated, for dance theatre. Which is very, very close, I find, to physical theatre.
I think they're almost sometimes indistinguishable, but there is subtleties, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say it's the heaviest form of abstraction used in dance.
Without getting proper... I think contemporary sometimes gets there with set and props as well, but... On its own, I think it's one of the more abstract forms.
Yeah, because you can see from what I've looked at, main practitioner I've been looking at of it is Pina Bausch.
That's fun to say.
It is. It's also definitely not correct, but...
That's fine, we'll let you slide.
It's all good. But from what I've seen of her, I think what breaks it away from being physical theatre is, for me watching it, I can see a very heavy contemporary bass. Whereas with physical theatre, you go, their movements are all coming from breath. It's not from a type of dance. That's, it's coming from breath
which
itself.
Which is why when you told me about this, my initial thought was actually not anything to do with dance, but actually that DVH should probably be defined as Tanz Theatre when you think about it a little
bit. I reckon so.
And DVH is a company headed up by Lloyd Newson, who is in a way a dance practitioner, isn't he?
No, he is. He is a dance practitioner, not one that I've looked much into.
No,
I
but he is a ballet-trained dance practitioner,
yes.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Quite in an abstract direction, and everyone went, that's now physical theatre, but maybe...
everyone just went, okay, right,
maybe
we'll leave
that,
you to
from
that.
From what you're saying, that's more Tanz Theatre. Maybe that's a good example of what that would be in a very mainstream way.
Yes, I think looking at it from a more mainstream, almost commercial point of view,
yeah,
I'd say that that's a really good way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. As Tanz Theatre itself,
it's not very commercialised.
It's weird. It's so weird. Do you remember I showed you some clips of it?
Yeah.
And it's incredible. I can't.
It's absolutely incredible.
Mind
blowing. I will put in the description a link to some Tanz Theatre.
Definitely.
It's not something that we know a lot about, I don't think.
It's something I'm still currently researching and exploring. It's just fascinating. But from what I've seen of it, it just brings a whole new level to dance. You've got all those stunning movements in it and that fluidity and the musicality. And it just completely draws your breath away. But then it brings in this really, really hard-hitting, heavy emotion from it, where it completely takes you by surprise. Because if you take a step back and look at it without a performer's perspective, you just think, this is weird.
To me, it's
so immersive.
It's got lesser elements of acting than physical theatre in a sense of Gecko or. Very much Frantic Assembly, who are a very acting-based physical theatre company. But, well, depending on which director you get. But I think it definitely has more... There's a sense of character to everybody there. And sometimes you have multiple people playing one character or collective becoming one conscious. That's quite interesting to watch
like
how
that.
People play that out.
Yeah, it's lovely. I really want to explore more stuff like that.